Today is March 22nd, 1988. The following interview is with David Chu, C-H-E-W. Mr. Chu was a deputy assistant to the president. The interview will take place in room 166 of the old executive office building.
Okay.
Well, to start with, when did you join the White House staff?
I joined the White House staff on February 4th, 1985, when Don Regan became chief of staff. I had worked for him at the Treasury Department, and then I had gone to the Comptroller of the Currency, which is another branch of the Treasury, and when he became chief of staff, or when the president designated him to become chief of staff, he asked me if I would come back and help him out, and he asked me, with the president's concurrence, obviously, to serve as the staff secretary.
When you and he probably talked about this, what did you envision the role and responsibility of the staff secretary's office to be?
I had some knowledge of the position, having spent time at the Treasury Department and having had some relations with my predecessor, in function, although not necessarily entitled, Dick Darman. And my understanding was that the staff secretary's office was the body within the White House that was charged with coordinating, clearing, and forwarding on to the president all of those items that required his attention.
The next question, obviously, Dave, would be, how does one determine which ones are worthy of going on to the president? Was that the role of the staff secretary?
To some extent it was, and of course there was ample precedent in history in the four preceding years to provide a good guide. And there were several people who continued on in that function, in that office, who provided a continuity and a history, and were very helpful in making the transition in smooth. And there's a staffing process to sort out mistakes, to sort out differing views, staffing by forwarding documents to other offices within the White House with their views and comments. And that process was helpful in resolving what items ought to go to the president and what shouldn't. So it was not as complicated, perhaps, a process as it might seem to an outsider. There were obvious things that should go, and the items that were questionable, or there were doubts about, were relatively few.
Is there anything in writing that lays all this out?
Not that I'm aware of.
So for the scholars of the future, they are left to their own resources, or hopefully they can track down you or other people who have served in that
position. To the best of my understanding, that's the most reasonable way to go at it. There are, I'm sure, documents that talk about the category of types of documents that go forward that I've seen, but there's nothing that I've seen that's detailed and specific. A lot of it is based on the circumstances of the time and history and precedent.
How large a staff did you have?
I had two full-time people assisting me. First it was Sarah Emery and Phyllis Savoy. Then Sarah moved to the executive clerk's office. She was replaced by Catherine Ladd. I had in the evening, and our office was open from 7 in the morning until midnight, 5 days a week, and all day on Saturday and many times on Sunday. And we had different people come in at 4:30 or 5 o'clock each night and stay till 10:30 or 11 or 12 as circumstances warranted. There were a number of different people, and those people included Sharon Wagner when I was there, Susan Sly, and perhaps as we go on I'll think of some other names, but those are primarily the people that assisted my office, immediate office, but you know, that doesn't always convey the whole story because there is the executive clerk's office, there's records management, all of whom play very important supportive and functioning roles, but would not necessarily turn up on a strict headcount of people in my office.
You mentioned the office was open from 7 till midnight, 5 days a week, and then most of the time on Saturday.
Midnight, 7 to 10, 7 okay. to 10:30, 11, as needed.
As needed. What were your hours specifically? Granted, I know they were not hard and fast, but
I was generally in the office by 7 in the morning, between 7, maybe sometimes as early as 7:15. And I, for the 2 years that I served as staff secretary, generally didn't leave the office until anywhere between 8 and 9 on a regular night. And there were many times when it was later than that. I often worked Saturdays and more than occasionally worked Sunday. In the evenings when I got home, I often received phone calls about things that had gone on during the day and were expected to go on the next day.
In the process of coordinating and clearing these papers, was it your responsibility to sit there and read through the documents that came to make sure that everything was correct and proper and complete?
Yes, I tried to do that. In the cases where they were several hundred pages, we relied upon experts in the area and others to read through in excruciating detail. But I tried to familiarize myself with the long documents, although I obviously didn't read everything in it. But otherwise, I tried to review each item that went forward.
Based on that, one would assume that you cloistered yourself in your office and did nothing but look at paper all day long.
That's not quite true. I went to a lot of different meetings. And during the course of the day, and oftentimes that's why I was there late into the evening, going through the paperwork after hours. But we also got the president's schedule up to him each day in the early afternoon or early evening. And others, particularly Catherine Ladd and Sarah Emery, were responsible for screening a lot of the material that was headed to the president before it got to me.
The meetings you mentioned, were there some that were set that you could anticipate each day?
Well, there was a daily staff meeting at 8 o'clock, and there were other regular meetings that went on during the course of the week that the scheduling office would be better able to tell you which ones those would be. But while there were a lot of regular meetings, the nature of each day was not set. Except that generally meetings went on from 10 to 5 or 6, and what occurred, which meetings occurred, depended upon what events were up.
The meetings that involved the president, would you attend any, many, some, or none of those?
In the 2 years I served as staff secretary, I attended numerous meetings with the president, cabinet meetings, congressional leadership meetings, National Security Council meetings, as distinct from NSPG meetings, and other meetings as it made sense. During the last year here, I've served sort of in a special projects, institutional memory kind of a role, and I have not attended many meetings with the president.
Were you on the telephone much as staff secretary?
Yes, talking with people, resolving questions, trying to broker out differences. I spent a fair amount of time on the phone.
How much documentation of your responsibilities and activities and input will the researcher find in the papers, Dave?
Well, I know that's a hard question to answer. I mean, all the documents that went to the president that went through me, of course, are in the files, and all of the work that is associated with that should be with them. So I would think that's a reasonable basis for someone to look at.
So one can assume that the vast majority of the records that went to the president crossed your desk first. And while your name will not appear on very many of them, will it, except what, the little buck slips?
Yes, you're right.
Okay. So that will be where your imprint will be found in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that obviously indicates that you have seen
mm-hmm.
the document.
Mm-hmm.
And have it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as writing memos to the president or to anyone else in the staff, did you do much of that?
Only occasionally to the president, because I tried not to put my own views forth. And there were occasional memos to other people, and those that I would assume would all be recorded in the file.
Did you travel much?
In the 2 years I served as staff secretary, the general practice was whenever the president went somewhere overnight, I went along. There were one or two times when that was not the case for various reasons, and there were several times when I went along for day trips. And even when I served in the special projects role, I made a number on the overseas trips to provide continuity, advice, guidance as people thought might be helpful. So I did a fair amount of traveling. I traveled to Santa Barbara and generally the president went somewhere overnight.
So the idea was that you were always with the president to continue to perform the staff secretary function?
By and large, that's right.
Okay. Did you have much contact with people outside the White House? Let's say, first of all, other government agencies?
No, that was, I generally left, most of those matters were left up to the Cabinet Office or the NSC as appropriate. I tried not to get myself involved in other things. Occasionally you'd talk to somebody in agency because you knew them or something would come up, but by and large, most of those contacts were left to the other appropriate offices within the White House.
That would apply to Capitol Hill also, then?
Yes, I had very little to do with Capitol Hill and not all that much to do with interest groups and others around town, although obviously you knew people and they tended to call you and you tried to be helpful. But by and large, I saw my role as an internal one to the White House, and I tried not to play in other people's sandboxes.
On occasion, staff members will say that newspaper people, journalists, TV folks will have contacted them to ask for interviews and what have you. Were you one of those who, I'm sure you received a number of those kind of requests?
I generally did not give press interviews. I gave some, but I generally did not. I just didn't see that as my role and function.
You briefly alluded to this earlier. I'll go ahead and ask the question again, though, just for clarification. Was there any such thing as a typical day for you?
Oh, a typical day was an untypical day in the sense that almost anything could come up and it tended to be long. And to the extent that there were functions that occurred each day, in other words, the daily 8 a.m. staff meetings, contacts with other staff members, the brokering out of issues, the forwarding to the president of his daily schedule each evening, and the attending to paperwork and circumstances in the evening, that's typical, but the content of that typical day is atypical.
That's a good answer. In some instances, staff people, although they had their office in one room, would find that they were all over the complex in the course of a day. Were you one of those individuals?
Well, I wandered around in the West Wing a lot in the 2 years that I served as staff secretary. I found that oftentimes it was easier to run in and see somebody than to try and track them down on the phone. So that was my experience. And when I moved to the special projects role after Senator Baker became chief of staff, I did less roaming around in that sense and perhaps more telephone work.
If we could address ourselves to this second assignment that you had here, this special projects assignment, Could you elaborate on that to any extent?
Well, to the extent that when Senator Baker became chief of staff in 1987, I remained on initially as staff secretary, and then it was appropriate for him to bring in someone that he knew to do that role, and that person was Rhett Dawson. So I tried to provide some continuity to Rhett in that responsibility, and then continuity in a broader context to others that had come on in terms of what issues were, how were issues handled in the past, what was the process and procedure by which certain things were done, and those kinds of assignments.
Will there be documentation of this period of time?
I would think so. In the files, yeah, I would think so.
Memos to any number of people on the staff?
I would think so. Although a lot of the work tended to be verbal by and large, because what happened here, what happened there, you get a few minutes of background, and then they can go on and address the present and current circumstances.
Were your days any different in terms of the time?
They were not as long. But I would say that's the major difference. They were just not as long. He didn't have the operational, he didn't have the day-to-day operating responsibility, or the projects and assignments tended to be longer term and not always immediately time sensitive.
In this area, to whom were you reporting?
I spent a lot of time with Red, and then kind of time with Ken Duerstein.
So this was also kind of an internal type responsibility, not
That's
much
correct.
Contact with the outside world.
That's correct.
Where do you go from here?
I go off to the private sector.
Okay. And if someone wants to try and track you down 10 years from now?
I assume I'll be in the phone book wherever I am. I don't imagine I'll be too difficult to find.
Do you think you'll stay in the Washington, D.C. area today?
Well, I would doubt it. But I'm sure I'll be around somewhere. People shouldn't have too much trouble tracking me down.
Are you a member of any alumni association for a university or college?
I went to Georgetown University, and I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in a master's degree also at Wharton. So perhaps those organizations will be able to provide some of my current addresses.
Well, I've touched upon the questions that we like to ask people. Is there anything that I haven't addressed that you would like to comment about? Any philosophical comments about?
No, I don't think so. I mean, try to be helpful to those who ask, and I'm pleased that the library will be there to help people who wish to delve more deeply into what I think was an exciting and very important administration.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.